Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Lords for the first RNIB commentary game of the season. It's the Interforces 2020 tournament between the Army, the Royal Navy and the Royal Air Force. And we're in the first game. We've come on a little bit late due to some technical problems, so I'll catch up in a minute. But the Army are bowling to the Air Force at the moment with the Air Force 65-3. And just coming up to the end of the 12th over, it's been a pretty lively start. The Army seamers took a couple of early wickets, then after a bit of a repair job, they now took a third wicket. And really, it's been a bit of a story of the Air Force struggling to get away. 65-3 at the end of the 12th over. With me is Terry Blake. Welcome, Terry, to Lords.
And good morning to everyone. It's lovely to be back. Lords has changed obviously a little bit. The media centre has had some refurbishment to be done in two stages, and the Warner Stand is basically a building site at the moment, but apparently part of it will be ready for the Pakistan test. It's a grey day, a little bit of blue sky, it doesn't threaten rain, and little wind around, but a very short boundary on the, we're on the Mound Stand side of the square, and it's going to be Prinsloo coming into bowl, and that's swept down to backwards square leg for a single, and that's probably about a 40-yard boundary down there, straight and square. So lots of spectators there too, who might get one or two sixes coming their way at some point. There's now a left-hand bat, Watson. He's on 25, and he's facing the left armour, and he's been bowled. He came, he gave himself room, ran quite a long way towards the square leg umpire, or where the square leg umpire should have been, and he almost runs off, perhaps somewhat embarrassed by that shot.
Yes, Watson bowled for 25. He was one of the two players who did the repair job I was talking about earlier, along with Driver. And unfortunately, that's the thing. They did get off to a very slow start. They were something like 13-2 after four overs, which in a 2020 game is really not pretty much, you can call it a disastrous start. So they did a repair job, but very much by virtue of high risk shots. And sooner or later, that's the trouble. You are going to lose your wicket. He drops his bat in frustration there as he reaches his colleagues in the dugout. He doesn't look like a happy man at all, Watson. But he's out for 25. So there are a couple of newish batsmen. Sesford has just come to the crease. Ray not out on 5 at the non-striker's end.
Yeah, and you mentioned the dugout, which is sort of in front of the pavilion, and in front of where the bell is in the members' bar, next to the Warner. So they're on the grass, basically sitting there and watching the game. Here, the next ball is hit into the air, rather uppishly, out to the sweeper on the cover boundary, who comes in for a slightly risky shot there, just for one run.
Yes, high-risk shots indeed. And that's quite a way to get a single, just scooping it up into the air in between three fielders.
Here's Prinsloo again, and bowls, and this is helped over mid-wicket for a four. Just an easy shot, and I mean, normally that would have been one run to a deep mid-wicket, but it was four because it dissected the deep square leg and the deep mid-wicket.
Yeah, that was a lovely, elegant shot there by Ray. His first boundary, beautifully hit.
Prinsloo in again, left arm round, and that's late cut, and a quick single to the third man. The bails are taken off, but the non-striker was home, and Sesford is off the mark for one.
Yes, very quick single there, a really high-risk run taken. He was a little bit slow to get down there. I think he threw back to the keeper very well, but by that time Ray was home.
Prinsloo again, and this one is dabbed again down to third man, but this time they don't attempt a run. And we notice that the obviously the pitch, as we said, is to the onto the Mound Stand side of the ground, so the slope is in evidence, and there's a bit of green tinge too, and certainly the opening bowlers made life pretty hard for the for the two openers.
Yes, absolutely. The first wicket to go down actually was a real typical Lord Seamer's delivery coming in from the pavilion end, and the ball just jagged back off the slope, because the slope is quite pronounced at this part of the ground, where the wicket is more or less on the edge of the pavilion towards the tavern stand.
Here's Hudson bowling some off-spin. He asks polite inquiry of the umpire for an LBW, but it was going down the leg side despite the slope. And Hudson is 0 for 14, and this is the start of his third over. Ball's pretty flat, as one would expect in a T20 game, and that one is steered away on the offside for a single towards cover. And that was a run to Ray, and the strike goes to Sesford.
Yes, Ray looking probably the most comfortable of all the batsmen so far. That was again a very nicely timed, just back foot cut, just short of the man of third man.
Here's Hudson, and this one is pushed down to wide mid off just for the single. Fielder quickly in from the boundary down there, in front of the man stand. So we have the field, deep cover, wide deep mid off and wide deep mid on, and then a sort of shortest square, straightish mid wicket saving single. That's a full toss there, which he misses. Does Ray, and picked up by the keeper off the pads.
Yes, he'll be frustrated with himself there, Ray. That was a rare gift. The Army have bowled a very disciplined line and length, but he missed it completely, this full toss.
Two men out on the leg side boundary, deep square and deep mid wicket, and four men in the ring. And that was not a chance, I don't think. It might have been a bump ball, but it didn't look like a chance.
Yes, it was clearly a bump ball. I think the effects mic has come on, and you can hear that there's a good crowd at Lord's, which is always good to hear.
Indeed. And here's Hudson again. This is worked down to deep mid-on for just a single. Yes, the crowd as it is, there's a few boxes opened up in the grandstand. Obviously nobody in the Warner stand except for many, many construction workers. I can see at least 20, 30 people working there. There's a nice smattering of people in the pavilion. The tavern stand boxes are quite well populated, but the main bulk of the crowd appears to be in the man stand, near the action, square onto the wicket.
And 75 for 4, the score after 14 overs. The Royal Air Force batting and really behind the run rate. They'll need to have a very, very good last six overs to make this a more competitive total.
Yes, it'll be interesting to see what the par score sort of turns out to be for the day. I mean, my guess is with this particular track we're on that it might be not much more than 120, 130, but I could be proved wrong.
I suspect so. I suspect 120 they'll feel very, very happy with. However, that does now involve 45 runs coming off six overs.
Yes,
just
indeed.
Doable, it's possible. But they are four wickets down, of course.
Yeah. Well, with that short boundary, things can change quite quickly. And Ray is facing. And he's facing Varley. And this one is slashed away to the offside. And that will go for four down to very wide third man, and neither third man nor the cover sweeper could get round, so that one was heading down to the Edridge stand.
Well, Varley has his head in his hands. He bowled a lovely first spell from the nursery end. He's come back at the pavilion bowling right arm over the wicket, but I'm pretty sure Ray intended that to go in a completely different direction. I'm pretty sure he was attempting an on drive, and it just went off the edge and actually bisected the two fielders on the boundary for a four.
So this is his second spell. Here comes Varley again, and bowls, and this one is bowled him. He's bowled him. And the ball is careering down over the ropes, and for a minute I thought the batsman had hit it, but no, it beat his defence. It was an aggressive shot. They have to go for their shots really now, but that'll be disappointing, because Ray could have done some damage in the last six overs.
Yes, he came down the track, attempted to work him off the legs towards that short boundary you were talking about. It is a bit hard to tell from up here, and you can certainly tell by the reaction of the bowlers that there was no doubt about that. I thought initially it might have been a shout for LBW,
yes,
but
yes, exactly.
It was a little bit over-exuberant for that. So that, at any rate, told us that the bales have come off. So yes, the end of a brief but very entertaining innings by Ray. He goes for 16, 79 for 5 now the total. And that's Varley's second wicket. He's in only his second over, 1.2 overs. No maidens, 2 for 10 his figures.
So it's all action stuff. 8 balls, 2 wickets, 10 runs.
Yes, absolutely. That's T20 cricket for you.
So the new batsman is Chapman. And just find a little bit Corporal Chapman batting number 7, and he looks around.
Yes, I think he's wanting to slow everything down slightly. It's been such a helter-skelter last few balls.
Here's Varley again. That's a full toss, and but it's wide down the leg side. Well taken by the keeper. Score moves on to 80. There are 5 men in the circle for the new batsman. Mid-off, extra cover, backward cover point, right on the 30-yard circle. And fine legs up, as is mid-wicket. So the men out, the sweeper on the offside. Varley's next ball is hit for 6.
Into the upper tier of the tavern stand, I believe.
Good shot.
It's a massive 6.
Well, massive, I'm not sure it was massive because it's so close, but I mean,
well,
it was a decent shot.
It was the biggest one of the day so far, at any rate. We have seen a few sixes in that boundary.
That I will concede.
Second ball, first legitimate ball, in fact, that Chapman's faced. not a bad way to treat it.
Yeah. Well, it was a classic cow shot. But well controlled.
And
well controlled.
I suspect a second ball is being delivered as our ISDN box falls to the ground. Hopefully you can still hear us. Not quite sure what happened there, but at any rate, Tim Warden, our fellow commentator, is retrieving the situation. It has been quite a day for technical problems. Terry mentioned earlier, Lords has been refitted as Varley comes into bowl again, and this one is slightly wide outside the off stump, and he attempts to drive, misses, and it goes through to the keeper. So hopefully you can still hear us after that mishap. Not quite sure what happened then. But apparently one of the cables linking us was down, which is why we came on very late, missed about the first 10 overs, 12 overs of play.
So 86 for 5, and it's Varley coming to the end of his second over. That's another slog, but this one is well fielded down by... This could be a run out here. He's just in. So that was slogged down to a cow corner again. The fielder actually got to it well, but then fumbled it, so they went for the second run. A very good throw might have had them struggling down at the bowler's end. But 88 for 5 is the score. Sesford on 2, and Chapman keeps the strike on 8.
Yes, it was a high-risk second run there. A good throw would have... A flatter throw, a harder throw would have beaten him, but yeah. Managed to get there in time.
Here's Varley from the pavilion end. Another full ball and an appeal for LBW. The umpire not interested, walks away and signals a leg bye.
Yes, he was quite a long way down the track there, so... No real interest from the umpire.
I think having a short boundary obviously provides some interest for the batsman in terms of trying to get over the ropes, but it also might make it a little bit harder to judge those, whether to go for 2 or not.
Yes, absolutely. We haven't seen a run out yet. Could happen. But 89 for 5, we were talking about 120 being a par score. 5 overs to go, so that was a good over for the Royal Air Force. They need a few more of those.
Well, they're almost up to 6 and over now. I mean, maybe 130, 140 is more likely. We'll see.
At any rate, Chapman on strike has got off to a very lively start, hitting his first legitimate delivery for 6.
And it's Chapman who faces, having taken the leg bye off the last ball of Varley is over. He's 2 overs, 2 for 19, and Hudson is now coming in for his last over. He's bowled 3 for 17 runs. Off spin, bowls it pretty flat. This one's hit in the air over mid-off, but only halfway down, and they're going for the second run, and it's well taken.
Yes, that was a very well taken second run. Knew he had plenty of time. Again, one of these high risk ways to get a run, though.
The benefit of hitting it not so well sometimes enables a two to be scored. This time they're going to go for a two again. This very risky second run, but again, just gets in. And again, that was a slight miss hit.
Yes, and you can probably hear there's a lot of encouragement for these second runs. Not quite sure where it's coming from. It could well be from the dugout. But certainly there are people in the crowd very much approving of this running between the wickets.
Really a good atmosphere in the ground. A bit of building site noise, which I'll come back to in a minute. The sun's out, and here's Hudson. That's driven firmly. Hudson half stops it. They may try and go for a second here as well. And they do. There's a hesitation. It goes to the other end. It should be out. No, he's got in again. So that's three pairs of runs this over, all of which have been slightly mishit, and as a result has enabled the...
Yes, I'm slightly surprised they hesitated there, given that the first two, they had no hesitation at all. This one actually seemed like the safest second to me.
Hudson again. Let's hit up in the air. This might well be out. It's going down to the deep mid-wicket and dropped. He seemed... a great cheer from the crowd. The Navy here in force, obviously.
Well, that could be anyone. You never know. That could be colleagues from the squadron.
Anyway, Hudson's reverse sweep, and he's been bowled. That was Chapman's entertaining innings of 16.
Yes, certainly
come to
was.
An end.
Yes, bit of a shame in a way. Since Chapman came on, he's rather put a smile on our faces, hasn't he, Terry?
He hitting his first
ball for six and running a risky second ball after ball. This time he just took one risk too many and is bowled reverse sweeping for 16. So that's the first wicket for Hudson. 1 for 25 now. With just one ball to go of his spell, and 97 for six, the Royal Air Force total.
And he's got the run rate up to just above six, which is at least something. And of course, we all know that in T20, wickets can be relatively cheap, and as long as someone gets in and hits a few sixes, you can get the score up.
Yes, absolutely. Still have four wickets in hand. You never quite know what's going to happen.
The new batsman is Corporal K.L. Pierce, who is another left-hander. He's taking guard.
Now some adjustments being made to the field for this final delivery of Hudson's spell, bowling his off-spin.
And he's in there and bowls, and that confuses the batsman, doesn't quite know whether to go forward or back, and just somehow fumbles it away off his body, I think, onto the offside, and there's no run. That's the end of the over, 97 for 6. Cessford on 2, who seems to be in for quite a long time without taking much of the strike, and Pierce, and it's Prinsloo coming back, 3 overs, 2 for 20. Decent bowling figures so far.
Yes, absolutely. 4 overs to go now of this innings. 97 for 6. I've been looking to make the most of these, and this is where that short boundary comes into play.
The Prinsloo left arm round, a little bit short, and Cessford waits for it and cuts it well, and it's going to get 4, I think. Oh, well, I think that should probably be 4, but he hasn't signaled it, and he may get away with it. I think a TV replay might have shown that to have gone to the boundary.
In fact, he has signaled that it was a 4, yes. Yes, he ran extremely well. It was a very, very delicate shot down to third man, which is unguarded. So the man at short third man on the end of the circle had a long way to go and didn't quite manage to get it. He just touched the rope as he pulled the ball in and then signalled that it was a 4.
So he did signal.
Yes.
I just didn't see him doing it. It's a full toss and smashed out to mid-wicket, and that's a misfield, and it's 4. That's a bad misfield by the man out of Cow Corner. And it's 4 to Cessford, who moves into double figures. 105, 6, and we're in the 17th over.
Yeah, so with the previous boundary down to third man, the 100 came up.
And this one is hoiked off his off a length from outside the off stump and goes down to square leg for a single. And it's a single to Sesford, which brings Pierce onto strike. He's left-handed, so he's taking guard. Field moves around for the left-hander.
It's amazing how quickly things change at a T20. We were just saying Sesford seems to have been in for quite a long time for his two runs. Now here he is three balls later on 11.
So just the four men in the circle now. With the left-hander, you've got the deep, a man on the boundary at deep mid-on, deep mid-wicket, deep square leg. Fine leg is up, but quite fine. And third man, well, there isn't a third man, so anything he could cut, and he's been bowled. It's a good length ball, and I think he was just trying to find a way to be aggressive and in the end missed it. It was a straight ball.
Yes, he wasn't really sure what to do with that Pierce. I don't actually know if he'd faced a delivery yet. Certainly hadn't faced many. He was not out. And he was kind of neither forward nor back, attempting to hit it, dab it down to third man or possibly get it through mid-wicket, and just ended up missing and was bowled. So he goes for a duck, 106 for 7 now, after quite a long pause for fielding changes for the left-handed coming in. And the scoreboard's now up there. A couple of innings in the 20s, a couple in the teens. Sesford not out 11, but otherwise just single figures all round. Nobody's really got in for the Royal Air Force. Still, it's a team effort that's taken them to 106 for 7, and maybe their last three wickets can get them to a more competitive total.
And the new batsman is McCabe. Corporal McCabe, and he's a right-hander, and he's got to face Prinsloo, comes in from the pavilion end, and a forward defensive. Haven't seen many of those in the last two or three overs.
In fact, in the whole game, I'm not sure I've seen one yet.
Prinsloo comes in for the last ball of his spell, floated up and hit in the air. Will it carry? No, it doesn't carry to deep square leg, and they'll come back for a second run. Very nearly carried.
Yes, it fell just short. It was a difficult one for the man coming in off the boundary. Possibly had the sun in his eyes as well. He's wearing a cap down there. But yes, he was had a very open stance, McCabe. It was very clear what he needs to do against the slow left armor. He needs to get it into that tavern stand boundary, preferably into the upper tier somewhere. Went for his big shot, didn't quite make it, but he was fortunate to evade the fielder. So he gets off the mark. It's two not out. And again, the end of the over. How time flies. 17 overs gone now, 108 for 7. So just three overs to go now.
And there has to be a bowling change, because both bowlers have bowled out, and it's going to be Redfern attempt to bowl. Corporal Redfern, looks like right arm over to me. Just see his field. Fine leg is up, third man is back, and it's a right arm sort of seamer. Medium pace, and that one is flicked off the hips and a run off the bat. 109 for 7.
Yes, he just comes in off a few paces, Redfern, and then there's a lot of whip from the shoulder in his bowling action.
Yeah, sort of a Paul Collingwood type pace perhaps. That's a lovely shot through extra cover for 4. It was a foolish ball, almost half volley, but it was really half volley, and the batsman reached out nicely and played an orthodox cover drive. So McCabe goes to 6 and faces up again. Another good length ball, this time he reaches forward and pushes it round the corner to square leg for a single, and the score moves on to 113 for 7.
Yes, it was a beautifully timed cover drive from McCabe. You could probably hear the loud click as the bat connected with the ball there.
Next ball is a yorker, or is made into a yorker by Cessford, who tries to come down the wicket but can only scoop it down the pitch back to the bowler for no run. The burly bowler is Redfern, number 40 on his back. In again, it's another full length ball. This one's driven hard down to mid off, and they're not going to come back for the second this time, probably wisely. It's hit so hard it reached the fielder in double quick time. 115 for 7. McCabe is on 7 and on strike.
Yes, this is where you get punished for timing the ball too well. Lesser timed ones, he could have got a second there.
Slower ball, this one's hit down the ground. This will go all the way for 6. A good straight drive, played on the up and hit, and goes over the boundary rope with about 4 yards to spare. So, good shot.
And that, yes, and that's the 120 up that we were talking about.
Yeah.
With some time to go, so a really good recovery in the last few overs there. McCabe coming in, he's gone 13 not out in absolutely no time at all. Cessford's got to 13.
And with 2 overs to go, they might be thinking of 140 if they have a couple of good overs.
Yes, absolutely, and the sun's come out over Lords as well.
We're in the pink.
Something for the Army to think about with just a couple of overs to go. Varley, who's bowled extremely well, is going to be finishing his spell from the pavilion end.
Fine leg is up, third man is back for the right arm Varley. That's hit high and into the stand for 6 into the tavern stand.
Well, excellent short arm jab there from Cessford. Not a huge muscular shot, that was all about timing. As we've been saying, that short boundary, that's all you need. Just time it correctly and watch it sail away into the stand.
Yeah, he kept still and knew what he was doing. Faces up again to Varley. Bowls in the pavilion end, and this time he goes outside the off stump, clips it up into the air, and that's going to go for 6 as well.
I think it may have fallen just short. No, it hasn't. It went for 6. Well, that was a very interesting shot. Completely different. The first one was rather more orthodox, if you can call a short arm jab an orthodox shot. This time he stepped away to the offside and just lifted it over the fielders. Again, quite delicately, not with a whole load of muscle, and it just went over the boundary.
Yeah, well, this is the beauty of, if you're batting and you can time it well, a 40-yard boundary can be reached fairly easily, especially if you manoeuvre around in the crease as he's done.
Yes, and he's now the highest scorer of the game, 25 not out.
Full toss, smash down to extra cover, run out possibility, and there could be more runs here. They're going to be 2, and the keeper now takes it. This one was smashed to extra cover. They had to go for the single, I think. It would have been a run out had it hit. It didn't hit. Went all the way down to the boundary, was fielded, and they came back for 2. So Cessford's now 27 and faces up to Varley's 4th ball of the over. And this time he was trying again to go outside the off stump and whip it out to the leg side, but got an edge. Might be run out here. Isn't run out.
It's a little bit of a fumble. A more direct throw to the keeper and he would have been run out there. He was a long way short, but didn't quite manage to reach it. The keeper didn't manage to hold on to it, so gets away with it again.
Yeah, the ball in the end sort of skewed off the outside edge, I think, down to, or maybe an inside edge, down to third man, and scrambled a single.
Possibly leg byes, actually. His score's still on 27.
Well, I'm sure you're right. That's a good blow, and that's a dropped catch, I think, and a single is taken. With relief by Cessford, who moves on to 28.
To 28, yes. So that previous one must have been a leg by. Yes, at this stage, anything goes, really. It's all about peppering that boundary. Ball just flying anywhere. Cessford riding his luck there.
Varley comes in to finish his over. And a good fast ball and a big drive and no contact through to the keeper. So 138 for 7. There was I talking about par score of 120.
Yes, indeed.
We're looking at possibly 150 now.
Yes, well, the Army really got off to a great start. They took two wickets very early on. They really had the Royal Air Force under the cosh, but it's in the last 6 to 8 overs or so that they've managed to come back in this game. They've hit a number of sixes, got themselves right back into the game. The last over to go, 138 for 7. Sesford, the top scorer in the Royal Air Force innings, is going to be facing, as Boynton is going to be coming on. Now, from memory, he's going to be bowling.
He hasn't bowled.
Well, I'm remembering from last year.
Oh, okay.
So he's bowling. He has this rather unorthodox bowling action where his both arms just flap on either side as he comes into bowl. And he's bowling right arm. I suspect that it's more slow seamers than off spin.
But is he a specialist death bowler? He comes on for one over and it's the last over.
No, that one is looped.
It could be caught.
Oh, it is.
No, dropped.
Beautiful effort.
Beautiful effort, but as he hit the ground, it spilled out right in front of a photographer sitting in a hat and sitting right by the boundary there.
Well, he nearly had it, the man at deep mid-off.
Here's the next ball. That's a Yorker dug out by, it's a slow Yorker, dug out by McCabe, and they get a single to mid-wicket, so that's 142 for 7. And Sesford is on 29, comes on to strike with 3 balls left of the innings. Reverse sweep, peel for LBW, not out, says the umpire, and a leg bye is taken. 143 for 7.
Well, 5 balls, 5 singles. So that's not bad going for the last over at all. Was it 5 balls or 4?
It's 4. So, yeah, he's doing well so far. Touch wood and all that. Here's the next one. This is hit up in the air. This one might be caught. Can they get a catch in the deep? Yes, they have. So deep mid on takes the catch, running in about 10-12 yards and taking a fairly comfortable catch. And it's McCabe who's out for 16. And there is 1 ball left of the innings.
Yes, he did well there, the fielder. He had quite a long way to go in his red cap, but got underneath it very well and held it expertly. Lester, the man there, just coming off the boundary. So McCabe goes for 16, very lively innings. 143 for 8 now with just 1 ball to go. Sesford's going to be on strike. Boynton, the man to bowl it.
Here he is. Last ball, bit short, and punched away for 4.
Oh, 6 in fact. Well, tremendous shot to end the innings.
149.
He gets a pat on the back from the non-striker, Yago. And he finishes 35 not out, and he's really made a difference to this innings, the Royal Air Force. 149 for 8. We were wondering whether 120 wasn't a par score on this green pitch. But certainly 149 for 8. I suspect the Royal Air Force will be very pleased with that. The Army have been extremely successful in this Inter-Services T20 tournament recently, but 149 for 8, the Royal Air Force will feel that that's extremely competitive.
So, nice round figure, 150 to win for the Army. And we are competing against a fair bit of noise, let's be honest.
Yes, we are.
Hear the,
Cranes, rollers, trucks,
lawn mower coming out now, a little roller, man coming out with a paint pot to finesse the creases, and of course the building site noise. I remember 1963, sorry to go back quite such a long way, but when Dexter was batting famously against Wes Hall and Charlie Griffiths with no sight screen in the pavilion on a day cloudier than this, and there was a building work going on over there somewhere, and throughout the entire commentary there was just noise, but Dexter's batting that day made it very easy to concentrate on the cricket. So we're going to have a change in the commentary box, and I'm going to hand over to my friend John, and my friend Tim, I should say. My very good friend Tim.
Thanks, Terry.
Over to you, Tim.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to the first ball-by-ball commentary game from Lords of the 2016 season. It's great to see the ground so busy. We've got several hundred people in here for this inter-services T20 game. All of the boxes in the tavern stand are full. People seem to be enjoying their morning already there, and quite a few spectators in the mound stand as well. And the pavilion's got a good smattering of members here watching the game. Terry's left us for a moment. I'm now joined by Joe.
Good morning, everyone.
And that was a pretty good finish for the RAF, Joe, don't you think?
No, the ball was flying over the boundary, and they'd got themselves up to a very defendable total, I believe.
Yeah, 150 on this wicket. It'll be interesting. I mean, the real challenge for any team defending a total in this match is that short boundary into the mound and tavern stands. As Nick said earlier, the strip they're using today, which is being tended by four members of the ground staff at the moment, is in line with the left-hand tower of the pavilion. And so it's a pretty short boundary on that leg side, and we saw a number of the RAF batsmen trying to get inside the line when they were facing from the nursery end so they could pull the ball across into that area. Some success. There were a number of sixes in those last few overs.
I'm sure we'll be seeing a lot of that in the second innings.
Indeed. And as Terry said, lots of hustle and bustle in the ground today. We've got the building works going on in the Warner stand. Got a number of cranes there, plenty of workmen busily constructing the new stand that's going up there.
It's coming along very nicely, the new Warner stand. Looks beautiful at the moment. Hopefully it'll be ready in time for the Pakistan test match.
Talking of test matches, Joe, we've got the first test between England and Sri Lanka going on this morning. And I know that Sri Lanka won the toss and put England in. They've been proceeding at a slightly more sedate pace compared to the action here. England 8 without loss off 5 overs. Hales on 4 and Cook on 8. That looks like a solid enough start. And it's a test match and not a T20 game. We've got to fit in 3 T20 games today here, Joe, and it's it's quite a day's cricket, isn't it?
Let's hope the weather holds up for us and it'll be a great day here today at the home of cricket.
It is a bit overcast at the moment, but it's what I'd call non-threatening overcast weather. You'd like to see it if you're a swing bowler. Batsmen won't particularly enjoy these conditions. There's no wind. Both of the flags that are up at the pavilion end are still. But we would expect to see a little bit of swing for the RAF's opening bowlers. The RAF are now running through their fielding drills in the outfield. There's a large section of the outfield which is behind the boundary rope on the grand stand side of things. And that's what the RAF are using for their fielding drills and warm-up. Very busy, probably buoyed by their total, and looking forward to having a go at the Army. Just going to preview the Army batting lineup. Joe, you've got the details there.
We do indeed. To open up is Mr. RJ Diver and Mr. T. Shorthouse. And then, oh, that's my mistake. Mr. Hudson and Mr. Toginelli, if it's mispronounced, I do apologise. And number 3, Mr. Varley. 4, Mr. Beale. And then 5, Mr. Boynton. But I'm sure the Army will hope that it doesn't get much further than that, really. You never know.
Indeed. They've got good form in the competition, having won it for the last... Well, they certainly won it last year. They will be confident, you would think, of making this total. But the RAF did very well, having lost a wicket in the first over and struggled in the first 10 overs. They accelerated well in the second half of the game, give themselves a real chance of winning this game, putting themselves in the best position going into the final game of the day, which will be the Navy against the Air Force. So we've got, just for those who've just joined us, maybe tuned in, there's the bell, the batsman will be out shortly. The RAF made 149 from their 20 overs, which is a competitive total on this pitch. The Army will be coming into bat shortly to try and chase that total down. The second game of the day will be between the Royal Navy and the Army. And that will be starting after the lunch break, which follows on from this game. Lunch is scheduled for 12:45 to 1:15, and match two will start at 1:15. And then we go through the afternoon to tea at 4 o'clock, when hopefully the Navy-Army game will have finished. And the third match of the day will be the Navy against the Army at 4:30. It may or may not be a dead rubber, so to speak, at that point, if the Army manage to win now and to beat the Navy in the second game of the day. But we'll see the two batsmen for the Army now coming out to the middle, following the two umpires. Got Major Hudson and Tognarelli, the other Army batsman. To confess, I don't know what his rank is. Gend up on all of my ranks, that's not one that I recognise. But he's joining Major Hudson out in the middle, and the RAF fielders have come sprinting out from their dugout area just in front of the Warner stand, as it is under construction. The opening batsman for the Army will be facing, he'll be at the nursery end. Yet to see who's going to open the bowling for the RAF.
I think these the first six will definitely set the tone for the Army. If they can get off to a bit of a flyer, then it will make this total very chaseable, I think.
Absolutely, and interestingly, the RAF have got their field set now, and two men outside the circle they put on the offside, which is in this case the long boundary.
That would suggest maybe some wide Yorkers perhaps.
Indeed, so it's going to be Cessford, the late hero of the RAF innings, who's going to open the bowling. Right arm medium fast from the pavilion end. He's up to the wicket now, bowls to Hudson, strikes him on the pad as he goes forward. There's an appeal, slightly half-hearted appeal, ball rolls out to the leg side and there's no run. RAF field, run it through for you briefly. They've got a slip in, they've got a third man, they've got a gully, got a man out on the cover point boundary, man in cover, mid off, slightly wide mid on, shortish square leg and a shortish fine leg, as Cessford comes in again now from the pavilion end up to the wicket. Bowls a good ball that's turned around the corner by Hudson down to square leg boundary. They take a single, then come back for the second. There is that challenge here with this pitch where it's one or four, really, isn't it, Joe?
It definitely, I mean, clipped out towards backward square leg, fine leg, and it was nearly to the boundary already. I mean, it's going to take some stopping from that boundary.
Indeed, and I think maybe the RAF have taken the view here that they will seek to cut off the ball on that short leg side boundary, and if they don't, it goes for four, but they'll try and stop the singles. Cessford now into Ralph. Not the batsman we're expecting to see for the Army. In fact, Ralph even isn't on the scorecard. So a late substitution, but that first ball goes through to the keeper and there's no run.
I think that for this field, I think that's a good line. Just fifth, sixth stump, just giving the batsman just a tiny bit of room, but they're hitting out towards the long boundary, so playing into their hands.
Cessford in again now, bowls to Ralph. That's a shorter ball that's edged down through the vacant third slip area. It's fielded by the man at third man. Ball comes back into the keeper now, and they've taken a single, so Ralph is off the mark. The Army go to two without loss. Cessford is the bowler. He's had four balls of his first over. Quite pleased with it so far. As you say, Joe, trying to bowl in that off-stump corridor and placing the onus on the batsman to step inside the line if he wants to take advantage of the short boundary. Cessford sprints in again from the pavilion end. That's a good ball, well pitched up, driven to mid on.
It's a great ball field in there.
Athletically fielded, as you say, Joe, by the man at mid on. Still managed to scamper a single, but it would have been four had he not stopped it.
I think setting the tone also with the fielding will be key. Building that pressure, making the batsmen play shots that they wouldn't necessarily play so early on in their innings.
Indeed, there were some high fives between the RAF fielders there after that stop. Last ball of the over from Cessford now. Shorter ball just outside off stump, played defensively into the offside by Ralph. It's no run, it's a good tight first over from Cessford.
Fantastic over, three off it.
The run rate required is 7.7, just to give you an idea of what the Army need to do in this chase of 150. First over's gone for three, Hudson's on two, Ralph is on one. The batsmen from the Army are conferring in the middle now, having a chat about their approach. Punch fists as they go back to their ends. And we've got Chapman to open the bowling for the RAF from the nursery end. Just arranging his fielders now.
Similar field to the last over. Third man out, deep cover point out. Hopefully defending that short boundary.
Indeed, this is probably the more difficult end to bowl from, because even if you're bowling a good line outside off, you've got that short boundary on the offside. Anyhow, here comes McCabe, in fact. The scoreboard was wrong. Oh. It's a short ball that is hooked or pulled just short of the mid-wicket boundary. One bounce and over. Confident stroke there from Hudson.
Lovely shot there.
First boundary of the innings for the Army, and McCabe paying the price for a slightly short loosener that Hudson gratefully accepts and pulls firmly over mid-wicket. Safe in the knowledge that mid-wicket was in. McCabe in again now from the nursery end. That one's driven off Hudson's toes. Very nicely timed. That's going to run away to wide mid-on, for four runs.
I think the bowler there has tried to compensate from going too short to going too full, and the batsman took full advantage. Absolutely beautiful shot there through mid-wicket, wide mid-on.
It's a nice half volley on leg stump. Hudson just timed that one rather nicely. His confidence will be high after a couple of boundaries. McCabe needs a dot ball at this stage as he comes in from the nursery end. That's a good response, a slightly short of a length ball that goes through at pace to the keeper. Hudson tries to cut and misses. There's no edge. Hudson comes down the wicket to do a spot of gardening and calm the nerves. McCabe walks back to his run, feeling a little more confident probably after that delivery. Comes in again now from the nursery end, bustles up to the wicket. That's a shorter ball just on leg stump that's turned around the corner, but fielded sharply by the man at mid-wicket, who has a chuck at the bowler's end and hits the batsman who's waiting there. But there's no run. Shorthouse was the fielder. He moved quickly there at mid-wicket.
It's a good comeback by the bowler now. Two boundaries followed by two dots, and he comes in again.
It's a ball that's left alone outside off stump by Hudson, probably content to have eight off the over. They're now going along at six, and the required rate is 7.7. 11 without loss, the Army. Hudson on 10, Ralph on one. Last ball of McCabe's over coming up. He'll be looking to keep it tight for this last delivery as he up to the stumps now. It's a good ball outside off that Hudson drives out and misses. Goes through to the keeper. Some cheers of excitement from the RAF fielders. How close that was. They swap around briskly, and 11 without loss after two.
Very good end to the over there for the bowler. Put straight under the pressure of the two boundaries early on, but last four balls, beautifully bowled.
So it's going to be Cessford to continue from the pavilion end. The field is the same as it was for the last over. He's going to have to bowl that good off stump, just outside off stump line. He's up to the wicket now and bowls. It's a foolish ball on off stump that's driven out into the covers. Fielded by the man at gully, who runs round, and they take a single. Ralph moves on to two as a result. That brings Hudson on to strike. Cessford has a chat to his captain, is at mid-on, passing on a bit of advice about how to deal with Hudson after his aggressive hitting the last over. It's up to the wicket now. That's wide outside off something short, and it's cut hard, but only as far as the man cover sweeper on the boundary out there, on the long boundary up towards the grandstand, and Hudson takes a single, moves on to 11.
I think Cessford will be very happy with just conceding the singles at the moment. As long as the ball doesn't go to the boundary, I think he'll be quite happy, quite content.
You'd have to time it well to beat the man on the cover boundary up the hill. Cessford drifts onto leg stump, but gets, well, he doesn't wide get away with it. It's a wide. Hasn't gone for a boundary at least, but there's no leeway in 2020. If you go down the leg side, it's going to be called wide. And that one has drifted down the leg side. Well taken by the keeper. One more to the total. Extras are off the mark on one, and it's 14 without loss.
Cessford again.
It's a good ball. Good response from Cessford there. Straighter ball. Played back to the bowler. As you can hear, we've got some vehicles reversing beneath us in the media stand. And it's just a part of the building work that's going on here at Lord's today. We will have a bit of background noise throughout the games, as well as the chat from the crowd you can hear. Cessford in again from the pavilion end.
That was a hit very hard
by Ralph. It's a chance there for the man in quite close at cover. It went through his hands and it's good out beyond him for a single.
That's a good catch if you take that, I'll tell you that. It's hit very hard.
He was airborne when that went through his hands. He gave it a really good try. That was hit hard. Ralph goes on to four. Hudson, see, they must have taken two there, in fact.
They did indeed, yeah.
16 without loss. Cessford in again now. It's a slower ball. Well played by Ralph.
Could have been a chance to run out there. Misfielded there at Gully.
It's a slower ball that came out as a full toss and was played down into the gully area. They were on their way for the single. And as you said, Joe, it was misfielded. And if fielder had held on to that and thrown it in quickly, they would have been struggling. But they get away with it. Ralph goes on to five. Army are now 17 without loss. Hudson 11 not out. The last ball of Cessford's second over. It's up to the wicket now. Another slower ball. Strikes.
Half an appeal there, is it?
Hudson on the pad. I think it was going down leg side. But another well-disguised slower ball that did enough to mean that Hudson couldn't make contact with it. It's the end of the third over. 17 without loss. The run rate is 5.7 against a required rate of 7.8.
Looks like McCabe to continue in the nursery end.
Indeed, Ralph will face McCabe for the first time. Just taking guard now, marking the crease, having a look around the field that is slightly different. They've got an extra man on the offside for Ralph. They're really defending that short boundary. They've got six fielders on that side as he comes up to the wicket now. Bowls a full toss on leg and he's caught. Ralph will be very disappointed. It was a full toss on leg stump that he only half-heartedly played, to be frank, and it went straight into the hands of the man at mid-on. He'll be disappointed because if he'd gone after that properly, he wouldn't have had that problem.
He could have probably hit that anywhere in the ground and be very disappointed with himself, Ralph, but good catch. And the RAF are well in this game.
Yeah, that was a well-taken wicket. I mean, it was one of those balls, I think, Ralph, to be honest, it didn't expect it. It was on him a bit more quickly. It's quite a high full toss, and he didn't turn it round the corner. He was caught a bit straight and spooned it up to mid-on for a regulation catch. 17 for one in the fourth over. Varley comes to the wicket now. Lieutenant Corporal Varley comes to the middle to join Major Hudson, and he's taking guard now while a couple of the RAF fielders deal with some shoelace issues by the look of it. They'll be very pleased with that first wicket. Exactly what they needed to keep them in the game, keep the pressure on the Army. As I said, the RAF field on the offside, they've got a slip, a third man, cover point, deep extra cover, and really almost two mid-offs. One shorter, one deeper, mid-on, mid-wicket, and a fine leg as Varley faces his first ball. It's played defensively. They always... Bit of a mix-up, almost a run out. Two RAF fielders collide. But the net result is no run and no run out. For 17. McCabe has got his first wicket after getting some rough treatment on the first two deliveries of his spell.
He's come back very nicely.
And he's got a new batsman to bowl at now in the form of Varley. A little nervous with that first delivery. It's a good ball, nicely yorked in. There's a crowd catch there for McCabe. It's a bump ball as Varley dug that one out. Really good ball, nice off-stump yorker. Just what the RAF need at this stage.
The pressure's on the Army now. I mean, they're behind the rate. New batsman in, he's got to get himself in.
So this next ball from McCabe drifts onto leg stump but gets away with it. It's not really timed by Varley, who gets the ball as far as the man at mid-wicket and there's no run. 17 for 1. Varley yet to get off the mark. And McCabe, four balls into his second over. And it's a good spell from him so far. Bustles in now from his run-up in the nursery end. Ball's drifted on to leg stump, and that's played very nicely by Varley through the wide mid-wicket area, and that just crosses the boundary rope now. Four runs to get off the mark. 21 for one.
No better way there. Kept his shape, hit through mid-wicket really nicely there. And that puts the pressure right back onto the bowler now. One ball left and was over. He won't want to concede any more.
Indeed. It's nicely placed by Varley. They've just RAF working whether to change the leg side field. They brought that man at mid-wicket round a little bit more, a little bit straighter. That one's it's a good response from McCabe. Decent length ball on off stump that's played straight back of the bowler by Varley. And that's the end of the fourth over. Army are 21 for 1, chasing 150. They're going along at 5.3, and the required rate is now just a pip above 8 at 8.1.
Looks as if the RAF might be turning into a bit of spin now.
Indeed, it looks like Flight Lieutenant Iago is pegging out his run from the pavilion end. Looks like spin, as you say, Jane. So this is always a challenge. If you're bowling off breaks, as we suspect he may be, from the pavilion end to a right-hander with that short leg side boundary, they're going to take you on. Now, the RAF, interestingly, have not put anyone on that leg side boundary. They're taking the view that it's 1 or 6. Now, try and stop the singles.
Perhaps it might be a bit more medium pace.
Let's have a look. Maybe we've got this wrong. The run-up suggests more medium pace. Yep, absolutely right, Joe. First ball from Iago is driven out to mid-off and there's no run.
I think this is where the Army need to maybe take a few risks. Keep her up, pressure on, tight bowling. And the run rate's only going up from here.
I'll go in for the second ball. It's played into the offside, not convincingly, not well timed by Hudson, but they get one as it goes out to the man. Cover sweeper position. The pressure will just build, as you say, and it's interesting, Joe, that we've got the keeper standing up here to Argo, who's gentle medium pace. I don't think we're allowed to call it military medium pace in the context of this game, but he's a gentle medium pace on the money, very accurate so far. It's bowling to a 5-4 field. It's played out to mid-off, fielded sharply, no run. So yeah, they've got four men on the leg side. They've got them all in pretty short, inside the circle. Got a fine leg, square leg, mid-wicket, mid-on. Offside, got a mid-off cover, deep cover point, and a man at, well, really at point. That's played out to the onside. The next ball, they go for a quick single. They're going to get it.
I don't think the RAF will be too unhappy with just conceding singles at this point. I think they're very much content with the way they're going at the moment.
Exactly.
Very tight.
As a bare minimum, the Army need to keep the singles ticking over, and they need one or two boundaries on top of that as Iago comes in for the fifth ball of his over. That's smacked up to mid-off, but only as far as the fielder. Hudson finds the fielder at mid-off. He's found him three times in this over. And as you say, Joe, that's just fine as far as the RAF concerned. Iago is rattling through his over. Just a little change of the fielder. They push the man at mid-on out. thinking that Hudson might have a go at this one. Let's see as Iago comes in. And there it is. Indeed. He has a go and evades the man at mid-on, comes wide of him and gets four runs over the top of the man at mid-wicket. That's a good shot from Hudson. Gets the army back in the game for that over. 27 for one after five. Quarter of the way through. They're behind where they should be, but they've only lost one wicket. Hudson 16, Varley 5. Conferring in the middle now. They're going along at just over 5, and the required rate still remains above 8. Got another change of bowling from the nursery end. It's going to be number 1, Corporal Watson. Now, I don't know what variety of bowler Corporal Watson is, but he's just setting his field now. His run-up looks relatively short. Keeper is up.
Deep square out, deep cover out, so
looks like it might be able to spin. We'll see. Left armour by the look of it. And Varley is going to face his first ball. Yes, left arm, orthodox spin. First ball is a full toss on leg stump that's driven only as far as the man at mid-on. And there's no run. Varley not quite finding the length there. Got away with it for the first ball. Comes in again now. That's hit.
That's a big shot.
Unconvincingly. But it's going to go for four. Varley thought that one was going to go over mid-wicket, but it went over the covers. For
it was definitely iron. His eyes lit up there. Big swing. Thick outside edge.
Got away with it.
He definitely did.
About 10 metres wide of the man on the cover boundary, the short boundary, that is. Next ball. It's played defensively by Varley.
It's a good comeback ball from Mr. Watson there. It's a good, very good delivery.
Better line and length. Getting through the over quickly now. He's on to the next ball. Played deftly out square by Varley. That was a lovely shot. Really just timed it out. Square of the wicket. Splitting the two men, one at gully, one at cover point. Very nicely done. Went down the hill, Joe.
It did. It was just going to reiterate what you said earlier. It's either one or four on that short boundary. It's you beat the fielder and it's getting to the boundary every time.
Yeah, it's not only short, it's downhill. That's a shorter ball from Watson that's cut.
Down the hill again.
Yeah, very nicely for four. That's gone behind the man who's at a squarish third man and run away down the hill. That's another four.
Varley's raced to 17 now.
It's done a lot for the run rate. Watson's conceded 12 off this first over. This is going to be the last ball of that first over. It's played defensively into the offside by Varley and there's no run. Content that he's scored enough off this over. 39 for one now off six. The run rate's gone up to 6.5 and the required rate's come down under 8. It's at 7.9. The Duckworth-Lewis par score, always worth keeping an eye on, is 44. So the Army are not far off the pace. They'll be happy to have got back into it.
And that's the power play over, I believe. So they are now allowed four men out of the 30-yard circle, which they have used straight away.
Exactly. They've done well to get away, to keep their noses in front during the first power play. Iago continues. First ball is driven back firmly at the bowler, who fields with his feet and leaves Hudson scampering back, fearful that there might be a deflection onto the stumps at the bowler's end. He gets home.
You see that kind of fielding on the Saturday afternoon at the club with the feet using.
Excellent footwork, I thought. Might have been a bit painful. But Iago comes in now for the second delivery of his over. Drifts onto the middle stump. It's driven uppishly down to the man at deep mid-on by Hudson, who takes a single. Brings himself on a par with Varley. They're both on 17 now, and the Army are 40 for one. Iago quickly back to his mark. Doesn't hang around as he comes in now from the pavilion end. Driven down the just drifting onto middle, driven down the ground to the man at deep mid-on. And comes back
run
to
rate,
the bowler.
Run rate creeps above 8 again, just 8.0, so
doesn't take much. It's ball by ball. It really is. 41 for one, the Army. They've heard that the building noise there was punctuated by a champagne cork cocking, popping. It's a quicker ball from Iago that was well taken by the keeper up to the stumps. No run. Iago, two balls left in this over. He's already back to his mark and turning now to come in. Bowles. That ball is hit high in the air by Watson.
Hudson.
It's going to drop shortly. Front of the mat at mid on. They only get one run. Didn't really time it. Got one ball left with Varley on strike. This could be interesting, Joe.
I think he might want to have a go at this one. Mid wicket would be.
There it is.
He has.
But he hasn't quite got hold of it. Is he going to? Oh, he's just got it over the boundary rope. The man at mid-on was very interested in that, but it just cleared the boundary by probably a metre and a half. Farley hits a six to finish the over. He goes to 24, Hudson 18, and the Army are 48 for one off seven overs.
No, just with the singles dotting around there, I thought maybe he might fancy a bit of it. And obviously the mid-wicket boundary is one of the shortest ones on the ground, if not the shortest.
Yep, they hadn't got many off the over. And you could just see that Varley fancied having a go at that last ball. Now, we've got another change of bowling at the nursery end. After Watson went for 12 off his first over, we've got Chapman, Corporal Chapman, coming on to bowl from the nursery end.
Got now, long on, long off. Deep cover, and deep square leg.
Those are the four outside the ring, as you say, Joe. And we're just going to have the first ball from Chapman that drifts onto leg stumps, played out to mid-on. Sorry, to a wider short mid-on. And it's fielded there. There's no run. Quite a defensive field. Chapman bowls medium pace. That one's drifted onto leg stump again. It's played out to the man on the mid-wicket boundary. They take a single. Just going to bring Varley on to strike. Hudson now 19, Varley 24. And these two are building a partnership that has the potential to be very dangerous. So Chapman now in to Varley. Again, that one's on leg stump. Turn around the corner. Probably off the thigh pad, actually, but it's fielded by the man at short, fine leg, and there's no run.
Good start to the over for Chapman. One off the first three.
Yeah, he's done well. Comes in again. Doesn't hang around. Oh, he's stumped. Lovely piece of bowling. Now, it was a wide ball, but that doesn't make any difference. Well taken by the keeper, who was sharp as Varley overbalanced forward, trying to get that ball that just went down the leg side. Lost his balance, fell forward. The keeper took it very nicely down leg side and rapidly removed the bails to get rid of Varley. Stumped off a no ball. And that means the Army are 50 for two. Varley's gone for 24. Stumped Ray Bold Chapman. And shows the advantage of having your keeper up to the medium paces, Joe.
It does. I mean, wide delivery makes no difference. Just overbalance, like you said. Whip the bails off very quickly there. And that leaves the Army reeling a bit, I think.
It does. It's an interesting ebb and flow of the game.
That partnership could have potentially hurt the RAF, but they've broken that now, so the Army are going to have to regroup again.
Indeed, the Duckworth Lewis par is saying 54 now. The Army are 50 for two. Beale has come out to the middle. And he's just having a look around.
They brought mid on, mid off up. Hopefully build some pressure, keep him on strike.
Chapman in again now. It's a full ball on off stump, played out to the man on the cover boundary, the short boundary. Take a single. Beale off the mark with his first ball. And Chapman has got one for three so far in this over. Hudson's back on strike. He's on 19. He's the linchpin now for the Army. That one drifts onto leg stump again. It strikes Hudson on the pad. He overbalances. But the ball didn't go through to the keeper. So he's not in the same danger that Varley faced. Last ball of this first Chapman over. The men are back out at mid-off and mid-on for Hudson. That ball is turned round the corner from middle stump. They take a quick single. And Hudson will retain the strike. The Army go on to 52 for two. end of the over. Eight overs gone. 52 for two. Run rate so far is 6.5. Required rate 8.2. Still very much within reach, Joe, but not straightforward for the Army.
I think Hudson's going to have to bat through here. I think if Hudson's there at the end, then the Army will probably have the win. But I think he's a very key wicket at the moment.
Absolutely. Beale and Hudson having a chat in the middle, working out where they go from here.
Another change of bowling, I believe.
Indeed, we've got Corporal Pearce coming on from the pavilion end, just setting his field now. Looks like a bit more medium pace. Keeper standing back, maybe a bit faster than medium pace.
I think he might be a left armer as well, Tim.
Does look like it, doesn't it? So this will be interesting. He'll have to be very careful to the right-handed Hudson, not to drift onto the leg stump. Hudson's opened his stance, if you can see, Joe, as well. He's opened up his stance, suggesting he's going to have a go to the leg side boundary. First ball of the over. Well outside off. Hudson reaches for it and plays it out to the man on the cover boundary. They take a single. 53 for two. Hudson moves on to 21. Bit of a loosener from Pearce. Bit wide of off stump, but got away with it.
I think that will be his line outside of off stump. Doesn't, like you said, he doesn't want to stray onto those pads. Anything down there will definitely run for four, maybe even six.
So Pearce just adjusting the field. That man on the short leg side boundary is bringing him around more into a mid-wicket position. As he comes in now from the pavilion end, left arm over. It's on leg stump, but played only as far as the man at short mid-wicket. So Pearce got a man out at a wide, deep, long on, short mid-wicket, square leg, short fine leg. Third man, point, deep extra cover, short and a long mid-off. Delivery is aborted halfway through as they decide to bring in the man from deep mid-off to the batsman Beale. Probably not expecting him to go.
So they've dropped another man out on the leg side. Fine leg's going back.
That's it. They swapped their man outside the circle. So Pearce comes in now from the pavilion end. Played out, is bowled outside off and played up to the cover boundary. Not a convincing drive, but it's a single for Beale. 54 for two. Beale is now two. Hudson is 21. Hudson's back on strike. Let's see again if he opens up his stance. Bit more like a Derek Randall stance than a traditional stance. His left shoulder is at 45 degrees to where you'd expect it to be as Pearce comes in now. He's up the wicket, smacks that one down the ground, up in the air, one bounce, well fielded, just kept inside the boundary by the man at mid on. He was running round, struggled to stay inside the rope, pushed the ball back in. Round of applause, some great fielding there from McCabe. Hudson gets two, but
saves a definite
save two
four,
runs.
Definitely, yeah.
So Pearce is in again now. Oh. Shorter ball, which Hudson attempts to smack over mid-wicket. Misses. Goes through to the keeper. I think it was just a little bit slower. That's maybe what foxed him there.
No, his eyes definitely lit up there. Hudson eyeing up the short boundary into the mound stand.
Indeed. Last ball of this first Pearce over. Up to the stumps now. Hudson's on his way down the wicket. Smacks it back at the bowler, who gets in the way. Doesn't manage to hold that catch. I think he did block it. They're running the second. They're going to have to hurry.
How's that?
That's very close.
Look very close from up here.
The umpire's saying not out. There's no replay available. They can't send it upstairs. It looked like he might just have got home. Hudson took a second there, having nearly been caught and bowled. Took a second and thought he wasn't running to the danger end, but the RAF fielder was quick enough to...
I think the batsman was guilty of a bit of ball watching there, I think.
Which can happen when you're almost out. Almost get caught. Think, woof, what a relief. And then almost get run out in the process. So that was the end of the over. Nine overs gone. 58 for two. Chapman to continue from the nursery end. That's a shortish ball just on middle stump. Turn around the corner, but only as far as the fielder. Short mid-wicket, there's no run. RAF are hanging in there. This is a very close game. Chapman in again now from the nursery end. Shorter ball that's played up to mid-on. There's no run.
I think both teams know how important this next partnership is now. I think the Army don't want to give anything away, and the same with the RAF, don't want to give anything away with the bowler.
Exactly, they're being... It's a great game so far. That's a slower ball on off stump, driven as far only as the man at mid-off. Another dot ball from Chapman. Excellent performance from him so far. He's comes off a relatively short run-up, got a bustling action, and he's bowled very accurately so far. He's just put the man at mid-on out to deep, out to long on. It's driven into the offside, athletically fielded.
Lovely pitch.
In the covers, saves a single. The RAF looking pretty pumped up, excited by this game, sharp in the field. Now, they've got five men outside the circle at the moment, which I'm not sure... It seems to be allowed. That's gone down to third man. They take a single.
It's one off the over so far.
One ball to come. Excellent over from Chapman. Hudson's now on strike. He's the danger man. They've put the fielders out. Let's see what happens with this one. It's a slower full toss that's only hit as far as the man at short mid-wicket, who's shaking his hands because that stung. But it was great fielding. 59 for two.
That run rate's pushed above nine now for the first time.
Looks like we're in for an exciting final 10 overs here. At the halfway mark, the Army are 59 for two, chasing 150 to win. The Duckworth Lewis par is 66. And Hudson's on 25, Beale's on 3. The run rate so far is 5.9, but they need 9.1. So they're going to have to keep moving. And Pierce is going to continue from the pavilion end. It's up to the wicket now. That's played, mistimed out, driven out to the man at short mid-on. Now, there's going to be a change of bowling up here in the commentary box as well. Nick is joining me in place of Joe. And what do you make of the first 10 overs, Nick, so far? Let you answer that after this ball, which is driven only as far as the man. Short cover. And there's no run.
I think we can sum it up by saying it's a very good contest. Duckworth Lewis par score 66, I believe, if my eyesight isn't failing me. 59 for 2 the score. Really good fight from both sides.
Pierce in again now, shorter ball but slower. Now what happened there? There's all sorts going on. We've got an appeal for caught behind, we've got an appeal for run out.
Well, they're in disbelief.
One or the other, they're saying.
The bowler, the wicketkeeper, absolute disbelief. Nothing at all from the umpire there.
So let's just...
I'm pretty sure they felt there was a top edge.
Just describe what happened there. Pierce bowled a shorter ball, but bizarrely looked like a shorter, slower ball. Quite how he did it, I don't know. It bounced a lot. Beale was down the wicket trying to pull it over mid-wicket. The keeper took what he thought was a catch, then tried to run Beale out, and neither was given. So Pierce continues now from the pavilion end. That's a better ball. Well fielded by the man. Short mid-on. And there's no run. 59 for two. Pierce has bowled four bowls of ball so far in this over and hasn't conceded a run yet. Beale is facing and will be desperate to get this ball away as Pierce comes in. Fuller ball, driven hard up to the man long off. They're going to have to hurry if they want two. They just go for one. Good fielding up there.
Yes, there's an impressive amount of energy from the Air Force in the field there. The man at mid-off was down very quick to that drive, possibly just slowed it down slightly, keeping it down to one, and there have been a few examples of really good fielding from the Air Force.
So Hudson facing the last ball, he's opened his stance, he's walking down the wicket already, and unfortunately didn't manage to get that ball away. He's looking to put Pierce off on the way in, I think. Well, there's no run off that last ball of the 11th over. The Army are 60 for 2. The required rate has just pipped up to 10. They're going at 5.5. They are going to have to get a move on. The RAF looking more confident in the field, Nick.
Yes, absolutely. So Duckworth Lewis pass score now 80, so they're a long way behind, 20 runs behind. And it's been a very impressive fight back, really, because early on in the Air Force innings, you really felt that they were in some trouble against good bowling from the Army. But then in the last few overs, they took on the bowling, hit a number of boundaries, got themselves in this strong position. As first the first ball is just outside the off stump, and he takes a flash at it. Beale and misses.
This is Chapman continuing, and he's really done superbly well for the RAF so far. He's taken 1 for 5 off 2 overs.
Yes, excellent figures. Pierce at the other end as well, no slouch. 2 overs, no maiden, 1 for 7.
So Beale is on 4 not out and Hudson 25. Beale is facing the second delivery of the over from Chapman. It's up to the wicket now. He smacks that one. No, he tries. Didn't make contact. I thought he'd hit that one. It was a shorter ball. Beale has a spot of the Mark Elam around him in terms of his approach. Quite a short run up, but quite a lot of pace. Accurate. It's a fuller ball, shorter, slower ball. It's going up, 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 and caught. A deep, deep mid off, long off. Great catch. Slower ball that Beale went after, and was a plan there, do you think, Nick?
Absolutely, yes. I think everything is coming off now for the Air Force. That one, after a couple of dot balls, Beale, a little bit frustrated, went for the big aerial drive, looking to get it into that short boundary, but only picked up the man at the fence, who'd only just been moved back there, Shorthouse, and he was equal to the task. So 60 for 3 now. And really, even though they've got wickets in hand, and you wouldn't want to write the Army off at this stage, they're really being pegged back and are a long way behind the par total. So a very, very good spell of play here for the Air Force. Still quite a long way to go. 11.3 overs have gone. Around about this stage of the previous innings, we were saying that 120 would be a par total. In fact, they got to 149. So 90 runs still need to be made, the Army. They've got 7 wickets, but they'll need to start finding some sources of quick runs soon.
Indeed. So Hudson is still there, and he's joined now by Lance Corporal Boynton. Hudson will be facing the next delivery because the batsmen are cross when the catch was taken. They've got long off and long on out to Hudson. They've got a man on the cover boundary and down at third man. Chapman in now. That ball is driven hard, but only as far as the man at point. Well fielded there. Fielding's been very good from the RAF.
He's looking a bit frustrated now, isn't he, Hudson, picking up the fielder again.
Indeed. Let's see what he tries to do this time as Chapman's up. That one's drifted onto leg stump. Turned round the corner by Hudson. They're going to take one. It's going to be a rare occurrence of a two as the man comes round from the mid-wicket boundary to take that and return to the keeper. Two to Hudson. He goes to 27. The Army 62 for 3. Boynton is yet to get off the mark. Chapman is about to finish his third over, and he's taken 2 for 7 so far, which is a fantastic performance.
A bit of a gift there, ball on his pads, just what Hudson needed.
It's a full toss driven down the ground by Hudson, only as far as long off. They take a single. It's the end of the over. Hudson will have the strike for the next over, but that's a great over from Chapman. He's bowled 3 overs, taken 2 for 7. The Army 63 for 3. They're going along at 5.3. They need 10.9 and over now.
Yeah, so what do you make of Hudson's innings, Tim? Early on, I thought that he looked as though he was going to take down this scoreline of 150, this target of 150 all by himself in the first couple of overs, at a number of boundaries. But look at him. He's been pegged back. Here we are now at the end of the 12th over, and he's just 28 not out.
I think... Nick, what the RAF have done really well here is to mix it up. We've had spin, we've had left arm, we've had medium pace, we've had slower medium pace, just moving it around a little bit. They've kept the batsmen on their toes. That's a slower wide ball from Pierce. First ball of his over. That looked like it slipped out of the hand because that was on
Absolutely.
Its way to second slip, that one.
It was well very full and well wide of the wicket, in fact. The keeper did well to get to it.
Hudson happy to leave that one alone. Extras are now three. Pierce turns again from the pavilion end. That's a better ball. That's almost played on by Hudson as he tries to pull round a ball from outside off. Gets an inside edge, goes down to fine leg. And Hudson manages to get a second run there. All useful stuff for the Army.
Yes, there was a bit of hesitation there, but the man did have a long way to go to get that down to a fine leg position. So in the end, they made the second run quite comfortably.
66 for three. Hudson now moves on to 30, not out. Pierce now up to the wicket again. It's a fuller ball that's smacked down the ground by Hudson, but not quite as far as the man at long on. One bounce and it's fielded. It's a single. That brings the left-handed Boynton on to strike for the first time.
Yes, interesting there. The man at long on possibly could have gone in and attempted to catch that one, but it was would have been a bit of a high-risk attempt.
Would have been a phenomenal catch if he'd got there in time, because he was quite a way off it by the time it bounced. Maybe didn't pick it up initially. So Pierce now into Boynton. Left arm over to left-hander. That's drifted down the left-hander's leg side and turned around the corner by Boynton. He'll take a second as the man at fine leg just pulls up back inside the boundary, and two runs to get Boynton off the mark. 69 for three now the Army.
I think that was leg by signalled
as a leg by. Well spotted, Nick. I thought there might have been some bat at first, but Pierce will continue to the left handed Boynton, who is not off the mark because those were leg bys. Pierce now up to the wicket and bowls. It's a good ball. Boynton didn't know where that one went. There's no run. It struck him on the pad.
Yes, very good ball, full and straight. And Boynton, as Tim says, completely confused by that one. Didn't know where it had gone, but fortunately for him, it was perfectly safe.
So Pierce now in his third over. He's had a good spell so far. Here he comes up to the wicket again. It's a slower ball that's an inside edge from Boynton that just misses the stump. The keeper misses it. It's going to run away for four. Let's just check. No, that's signalled as a by. I thought there was an edge on that one.
Yes, I thought so too, but it went through everything.
Must have done something off the pitch.
He looks extremely upset, Pierce. It was a good delivery. Beat the batsman, all ends up. Nearly
beat
took
the
out
keeper.
Took out the bail and beat the keeper as well, for good measure.
So the last ball of this over, in theory, for Pierce. That one is driven out to the cover boundary by Boynton, who finally gets a run off the bat to get off the mark. He goes to one. That is the end of the 13th over. The Army are 74 for three. Hudson 31 not out. Boynton one. Pierce has bowled three overs for 12. And the run rate required is now 10.9.
Yes, pretty steep, but we have seen it done before in these games. Never quite know what's going to happen. So Boynton finally gets off the mark, having done a pretty good job of adding to the total via his pads or via missing the ball altogether.
So it's going to be the excellent Chapman to continue from the nursery end, just setting his field now. He's bowled three overs and taken two for eight so far. He's going to be bowling to the left-handed Boynton. So because he's bowling from the nursery end, he's going to be careful not to drift onto the left-hander's pads, because that's the short boundary side. First ball is driven, cut rather hard up to the long cover boundary. Boynton takes another run, doubling his score to two, bringing Hudson on to strike. Fielders swap round. Lots of action in the field. They've got five on that short offside boundary as Chapman comes in again. Bustles, that's short, hit up in the air. It's going to fall short of the man at mid-wicket as Hudson tries to force that through the leg side. He's still not looking entirely at home. He's struggling to pick the pace of the various deliveries from Chapman, who is mixing it up quite nicely.
Yes, well, again, it fell in between three fielders there on the leg side. It was in the air a long time, but landed completely safe.
Chapman to Boynton, that's driven hard. That's going to be four. He's found the gap on the leg side. Stand and deliver down on one knee, driven through the wide long on area for four.
Terrific shot there by Boynton. Really gave it a good thump, very aggressively. Probably the first boundary Chapman's conceded. He's having to bowl it quite a long way wide of off stump to the left-hander. Was equal to the challenge.
And he's gone again, but this time found the field. That was an awkward ball. Bounced about a metre in front of the fielder at mid-wicket, and he had to just stop it with his body. Didn't know where that one was going to go, but he did stop it. It's just a single to Boynton. 81 for three now, the Army. Hudson on 32 is going to face Chapman. That ball is driven straight down the ground. Is it going to go? Yes, that's gone for a six. That was a cracking shot. Cleared the boundary rope by some way. Six to Hudson. Very valuable runs. He goes up to 38, the Army to 87. And this is slightly taking the shine off Chapman's figures. But it shouldn't really detract from the first three overs, which were really excellent. A really excellent spell. Last ball of Chapman's spell to Hudson again. Drifts onto leg stumps, turn around the corner by Hudson. The man deep in wicket is running back to field. They're going to go and take a second. They get there. Well run. They took the first very quickly. Hudson moves on to 40. The Army total goes to 89 for three. Pulled themselves back a little bit. The required rate just edged down to 10.2. And that's 14 overs gone. 89 for three.
Yes, excellent over there for the Army. 15 runs, I believe, came off it. And Hudson now 40 not out, suddenly making it all look very easy with that really effortless six down the ground. And then a good shot as well out into the mid-wicket region, deep mid-wicket region, coming back for a second.
Indeed, so Pierce is going to start his fourth over from the pavilion end, bowling to the left-handed Boynton. That first ball is played deftly down through the gully area. It's fielded very nicely by the man from third man running round. They just get a single for that. It's well stopped by the fielder. Shorthouse out on the offside boundary. The fielders swap around a bit now because we've got the right-handed Hudson facing. So he has the short leg side boundary. Got a man out at deep, long on. Deep mid-wicket, both on the boundary. Pierce comes in now. That ball is on middle stump, driven round the corner. But only as far as the fielder at square leg. Hudson didn't get hold of that one. He was trying to smack it over the boundary rope, I suspect. But it just a single, 91 for three, Hudson 41, Boynton 8. Boynton is now facing. Pierce in again from the pavilion end. That is driven hard by Boynton over mid on. It's fielded by the man at long on. They run back for the second. Boynton stands there in a very determined fashion when he drives. He really gives it everything, doesn't he?
Yes, absolutely. There's a lot of passion in his stroke play, isn't there?
Real bottom hand. Drives it hard. Here comes
10 in no time.
And he does it again. This time he really gets hold of it. He's going to beat the man on the mid-wicket boundary. He hit that one really well. That's gone to the full boundary, if you like. It's not just gone over the shortened boundary. That's gone all the way. Four to Boynton, who's accelerating now. He's gone on to 14. Takes the Army up to 97 for three. Their required rate's just shifted under 10.
It's always rather a lonely sight, isn't it? The fielder at deep mid-wicket having to retrieve the ball that's got over to the boundary in front of all those empty seats in the grandstand.
Pierce is up again to Boynton, who smacks that one again. Four more. That one's gone between long on and mid-wicket. Stand and deliver stuff from Boynton. He made really good contact. One bounce over the rope for four. That's 100 up for the Army. 101 for three. Boynton races on to 18. Hudson's there on 41, being slightly overshadowed by his left-handed colleague.
Yes, he's come in and really taken the battle to the Air Force, Boynton.
Pierce's last ball of this over, driven respectably into the offside by Boynton. Slight misfield by the man at mid-off. And that's a single. That's 15 overs gone. It's 102 for three. Boynton 18, Hudson 41. I'm going to leave you with Nick now and be replaced by Terry.
Yes, so with five overs to go, 150 the target for the Army. They have seven wickets in hand, so 48 runs required. Shade under 10 and over. Duckworth Lewis pass score now 104, so they're pretty much there. And quite a lot, I think, for the RAF to think about now, because Boynton, since coming in, has really brought a lot of energy to the innings, galvanised the scoring. Hudson's been in a long time for his 41, the opener, but he's still there, going very steady. Hit a glorious six in the last over. Plus, now Chapman and Pierce have both finished their spells. And it's going to be Watson coming on. He's bowled one over for 12 runs. Here he is now, the slow left armour, and he bowls a good ball, which is edged by Boynton, and goes rather over the head of the keeper. There's no run in the end, but quite a lively start to Watson's second spell. Here he is again, bowling from the nursery end, and this one is heaved into the offside, but only as far as the fielder on the boundary, and there's a single. So Boynton moves on to 20, and we're joined by Terry Blake.
Well, as you say, Duckworth Lewis is actually moved on to 112, but they're right in this game, obviously with only three wickets down, and crucially, two batsmen who are going well, and Boynton's just added a, you know, an injection of energy and pace about the innings, so I think the Army are probably marginal favourites at this stage.
Say so, but a wicket could change everything. Watson's attempting to do just that, bowling his left arm spin. He's in now, and that's a good ball, just on off stump, pushed away by Hudson nicely into the cover region, and they go through for a single.
And great to have left and right handers in together, especially with a short boundary. Bowler's under pressure immediately now with Boynton.
Yes, and this is the danger now. To swing to the onside. Watson comes in, bowls, and he does swing it away to the onside, and that has gone for six. Just under old father time. Quite a few spectators there, I can see, attempting to retrieve the ball. But that was really a short arm jab, a real... not even the most aggressive shot he struck, has it been, Terry?
No, you're right.
But not as powerful as some of the others, but it's gone for six.
This short boundaries.
And Watson's coming in again, and this one is flatter, well wide of off stump, but he just plays it out and doesn't get a run this time. 26 not out, Boynton, only just come in a few overs ago. He's got there in no time at all. Watson attempting to hurry him up, bowls, and again that's wide of off stump, and again he goes over the top, but this time it's only four runs, but still a beautiful drive through the onside takes him into the 30s.
He's a powerful man. Boynton. Very good shot. Very good shot. I mean, the fielder was probably only 5 yards away from where the ball went over the boundary. Such was the power of the shot.
Well, very exciting, crucial stage of the innings now. Well, it's got to be a crucial stage, obviously, as there are only four overs to go. But this partnership, you sense, is going to be the make or break. It could all be over very quickly if these two stay in. Hudson is going to be facing 42 not out, and it's going to be Sesford coming back on, bowling right arm over the wicket off quite a long run up, keeper standing back, no slip, four men in the circle, one just on the edge on the offside as he comes in now from the pavilion end, right arm over the wicket, and this first ball is a slower ball bouncer which he gets hold of Hudson, and he's managed to hook it away for six.
Almost exactly the same spot as the last six from Boynton. As you say, just to the left of Father Time as we look down towards the mound and the tavern stands.
It's a bit of a gamble first up, and it didn't work. Hudson got hold of it well. It's now 48 not out. He's coming in again now to bowl to Hudson with a crouch stance, and this one is fuller, and it signalled wide. It went down the leg side. So not a good start to Sesford's second spell. A six, or a maximum, as perhaps we should call it in 2020 cricket. And a wide.
And puts a lot of pressure on him for the last four balls.
The required run rate down now to 7.6, which is pretty much what they've got, as this ball is very full. A good Yorker dug out by Hudson for a dot ball, which has been a rare commodity in recent times.
Yes, I think he may put away his slower bouncer bowling from this end.
Yes.
Concentrate on full and straight.
Yes, that works as a surprise weapon unless it gets pulled away for six. Here he is again now, off a long run-up, and it's another Yorker, and that one, well...
Is he out?
Big cheers. It looked like a bump ball to me.
And to me.
Well, indeed, and indeed to Hudson. He seems to think so.
Yeah,
and he's still there. Yes, absolutely. Well, all the Royal Air Force were celebrating, but Hudson was adamant that it was a bump ball. The umpires are conferring, and
oh, he's given him.
They've given him out. Given him out. Well, there you go. Enough confusion to go around between players and commentators and umpires there. So I don't think anybody can be blamed. There was a conferral, but the umpire at square leg, in fact, said that it was out and it was given. So that's the end of Hudson's innings. Slightly disappointing. Caught by Yago off the bowling of Sesford. He's out for 48. 120 for 145 now. And a crucial breakthrough.
Well, that's very interesting. I don't think I've ever seen something quite like that. Because from up here, it looked like a bump ball. Because I think of the way the ball just sort of ballooned up. As if it had been hit into the turf first. And you'd think the batsman would have definitely known one way or the other. But he seemed to be quite adamant that it was a bump ball. But the umpires had a different view. And quite rightly, he's been dispatched.
Yes, absolutely. There was no doubt in the fielding side's mind.
But no, there didn't appear to be.
Anyway.
Someone
well
was conning
well,
someone.
Except for Hudson. I'm sure that everybody genuinely believed.
I'm sure they did.
Whatever
I'm
story
sure
they were sticking
did.
To. Anyway, Boynton is now facing because the batsman crossed. He's 30 not out. And this ball is full and he... goes away to the leg side, attempts to smash it through the leg side boundary, doesn't manage to get hold of it, and it dribbles along the ground. They get one, which brings Senek on strike. Senek bowled an exceptionally good opening spell and took a wicket very early on for the Army. Now it's his job to bring it home. 122 for four, just three overs and two balls to go. Few changes in the field. There's a man going down to deep fine leg for the left-handed Senek. He's coming into bowl now, Sesford bowling round the wicket, and he's in there, and that one is a sharp delivery, slightly short, and surprises Senek, but he pulls the bat away in time. So another dot ball.
Yeah, I wonder whether he lost it. He just didn't seem to handle that ball at all well.
Oh no, the scoreboard's deceived us. Yes, I was wondering, Boynton it is, who's on strike. 30 not out. It was Senek earlier who got off the mark.
Okay, well, even more
and
surprising.
Now he is bowling. And this one is a fuller delivery, which he drives, but only as far as the man at mid-off, who throws it back very sharply, nearly catches Sesford. But in the end, there's no run. Lively over from Sesford.
But Senek was yards out of his crease there. When he threw down, he would have been out by 4 yards. So something went wrong with the calling there, I think. The non-striker was miles out of his crease.
Yes, indeed. It was very legitimate for the fielder to throw. I think it's McCabe out there at mid-off. Anyway, the batsman survived. And it's Senek still there. One not out, having just faced the one delivery. It's going to be McCabe coming on from the nursery end now. Some changes to the field. Furious gesticulating going on. Again, the keeper standing back to McCabe. He's going to be bowling right arm over the wicket from the nursery end. Just three overs to go. 28 runs required. 150 the total. Here he is now, coming in from the nursery end. And this first ball is full, and it's edged down along the ground to third man. And he picks it up very smartly, restricts him to a single.
Good fielding there.
Yes, we've seen a number of those go for a second run, but this time there was no chance. So Senek moves on to two. And it's Boynton, very much the danger man, on strike now. And he's where he likes to be. the left-hander at the pavilion end is in a position to swing hard and hit more sixes towards Old Father Time.
A lot of pointing going on, a lot of field changing as a result. They've got an extra man on the boundary.
Yes, three men on that leg-side boundary now. Will it be enough?
Might need one in the stand.
So long off is being brought up into the circle. Fine legs up. There's a third man. There's a man on the fence at cover as well. Three men in the circle on the offside as he comes in round the wicket again. And that one is wide of the off stump. He gets down on one knee point and attempts to hit it through six. Misses. Goes through to the keeper. You know, if he had not got into that position, I'm sure it would have been called a wide, but in the end it's another dot ball.
Yes, goodness knows where that one would have ended up if he'd middled it. It might have been coming up this way.
Yes, absolutely. So here he is again, coming in from the nursery end, and this one he does middle it, and that one is going to go for six. Well, there's an acrobatic attempted stop, but he has no chance there. So another superb shot there by Boynton. Takes him on to 36.
Yeah, that's his spot, I think. That Toyota banner down there next to Specsavers is getting peppered.
So what's McCabe's response going to be there? He comes in again now and he bowls and that one is straighter and again it's up in the air and again it's gone into the tavern stand there. So another six. And with that, you sense that the Army are well on course to win this opening game of the Inter-Services T20. They're 135 for four now, just 15 runs required to win. Of course, there is many a slip twixt cup and lip, so we shouldn't be too certain. But Boynton now on 42, looking in control. He's facing again. And again, he goes for that boundary, but this time it's just a single.
Well, he'll be happy with that because he'll probably, it means only one ball for Senek to face. There's no pressure on him to do much more perhaps than just block it and leave Boynton on strike.
It's 14 runs required, 13 balls to go. Senek just two not out. He comes in McCabe now, bowling right arm over the wicket, and he plays it quite nicely there. Just a pleasant drive. Just slightly to the left of the man at cover. Gets him to three. Probably they'll be quite relieved, the Royal Air Force, to see that Senek is at the striker's end and not Boynton. 137 for four with two overs to go.
And like you, I'm a big fan of the Duckworth-Lewis par score, which says 139 and they're 137. And the 139, I think, I'm right in saying, is at the end of the next over? Is that how it works? They have to reach 139 by the end of the next over.
Well, that's a very good question, Terry.
I think it must be.
I don't know the answer. That sounds about right.
It must be that. Otherwise,
this first ball is... Well, he went away to leg Senek, and he followed him. He did manage to get it away through the offside, and they've come back for a second. Oh, well, lots of action, lots of noise. It ended up being a full toss, which was played away by Senek through the offside. They managed to come back for a second. It was all a bit of a gamble all round. But anyway, two runs is the result. Senek, now five not out, is facing as he comes in. Sesford from the pavilion end. He goes away again, and this ball, well, I'm not quite sure what that came off, or if anything at all. I think leg byes are being singled. Anyway, he gets...
No, he got a little tickle.
He got a little tickle on it down to third man.
Bottom edge, maybe.
Bottom edge. So he's off strike, and it's Boynton, 43 not out to face. 140 for four. There are one, two, three, four men in the circle now. Two men on the leg side boundary, the long leg side boundary, as he comes into bowl, and he plays it away. That's very, very well fielded by the man at mid wicket, and manages to keep them down for a single. 141 for four now, just nine runs needed with nine balls to go.
Well, you couldn't ask for a better finish, first match. First match of three today.
Absolutely. It'll be quite an achievement for the Army to take down this score of a total of 150 as this next ball he goes away, as is his wont, to the leg side, attempts to get it through the covers, but only as far as the man fielding there, and there's no run. Tall man is Senek. The sense that if he does get hold of it, it'll go a long way. He's got a very open stance. As Sesford comes in again, right arm over the wicket from the pavilion end, and that's a slower ball, and he has got that one away just for four runs. Well, that's a big blow. And you sense earlier on the RAF had a great energy about them in the field. Now you sense there's a bit of dejection about them, Terry.
Yeah, sad. To bowl a sort of full toss at no great pace with a short boundary on the leg side just helped on its way.
Moves into double finics. Double figures, Senek. And this time he goes away to the offside, steps back, and he pulls it, and that has beaten the man on the fence there at deep mid-wicket, and that means the scores are level. 149 for four, just one run required. The over has ended. That's the end of the over, just one run required off the final over.
Well, he should have kept bowling his Yorkers, because he bowled two in the over before, finally, and the pressure yielded a wicket, but the last two balls of that over was a full toss and a rank long hop, really. Well, I mean, slow bouncy, you might call it that, but they all went for four, so game pretty much over.
So everybody now within the circle, saving the one run required. There's a man moving into slip. McCabe, three overs, one for 27. About to bowl the final over. He's coming up to Boynton, and that one is pulled away, first ball, and that is the Army winning the first game by six wickets. Boynton, with four runs off the final ball, takes himself onto 48 not out. For me, the man of the match performance, because it did look before he came in as though the RAF were going to take this game. They were on top, but Boynton came in, played a very aggressive, pugnacious innings. He's waving to his teammates down in the dugout and now being congratulated by slightly sad RAF team as they come off the pitch. They did extremely well to post 149 themselves, and halfway through the innings you sense that they were on top. But Boynton came in, hit 48 not out in no time at all. 153 for four. The Army managed to take the first game with just five balls to go.
So Boynton matching Hudson with 48. Hudson up at the top of the order. And significant contributions as well from Varley, who made 24. And Senek at the end there, 14 not out, along with Boynton. And they're now reaching their teammates at the boundary edge. And the handshakes begin, and on comes the mower, and the groundsman will do a little bit of work before the start of the next match.
And indeed, the next match is going to be the Army will be on again, this time playing the Royal Navy. We're expecting that to come on at round about 1:15. Meanwhile, from Terry Blake and I, we're going to go for lunch. So the Army have taken the first match of this three-match series, the triangular 2020 tournament. There are a lot of children going on, about to play some quick cricket, having lots of fun on the Lord's outfield. So the Army have taken the first match, beating the Royal Air Force by six wickets. It's been an excellent encounter. We're going to take a break for about half an hour, and we'll see you at round about 1:15.